What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, y'all, guess what time it is? It's the Grolic Saves the World time.
All right, the Grolic saves the world.
That's right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. We're getting big. Our world needs our next test. Perfect. Go down the hallway, burst into their room, play this. Wake up, Jimmy. It's the Grolic Saves the World.
I'm Adam Caton Holland.
My name is Ben Roy.
And I'm Andrew Orvidal.
And your child has been shocked into their day with your three favorite yucksters. This is the podcast where we better the world around us by bettering ourselves through passive-aggressive self-help challenges.
Wait, who still names their kid Jimmy?
Yeah, what a name for a baby. A
lot of Jimmys out there.
This is my 3-month-old baby, Jimmy.
Born in 1943.
Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Johns. It's never been zeitgeisting harder. Everyone's naming their kid Jimmys. I don't know if you guys hang out with the amount of babies I do. I know 100 Jimmys right now.
You know 100 Jimmys. You do not know 100 Jimmys.
I know Jimmy R. I know Jimmy with the wonky eye. I know Jimmy with alopecia. I know
These
Jimmy.
These are lies.
Wow.
Jimmy who's
Jimmy's a weird name for a baby. Imagine meeting a baby named Bruce nowadays. That's a weird one.
I think that'd be cool. Like a Bruce Springsteen baby?
Yeah. I don't know. Imagine being a fully grown adult male who nicknames a child Jimmy with the wonky eye.
Wouldn't that be weird?
What are we doing this podcast besides insulting young children's features?
We have a challenge from an outside source.
What?
Yeah. Jimmy with the wonky eye?
Little Jimmy with the wonky eye. The challenge is to quit calling him that because he's got the special glasses. Huh. It's funny, you just reminded me of that. When I was a kid, I had to wear the baby eye patch for a while because I had
This is why I said this. Tell us everything.
Because you had one eye that's muscle.
I had an eye
weaker.
That was pulling. Yeah, so they give you the padded eye patch. And so there's just a handful of baby pictures I have where I've got that padded eye patch on.
Oh, God. Why have you never told us?
I just remembered it. I just remembered it without him saying
it. Baby pirate was a footnote in your childhood.
Full strength ears, eye patch in the garage watching television.
On the TV that needed to warm
full
up.
Full strength ears.
Full strength. It's pretty great.
So that's as good as
I would argue from the photos, extra strength ears.
Full strength ears. Oh, yeah. You should have seen the way they'd push headphones right off, right onto the side of my face. Oop. Yeah. It was something.
Like looking like a rescued wombat. So what are we doing today?
Full strength.
I mean, how is Andrew not getting a Wonder Years reboot out of this podcast? How has no one been like,
I have no idea.
You, your youth, you do the VO, everything. Just episode after episode.
But this is Wonder Years if everyone was Paul Pfeiffer. That's what Andrew's upbringing was like.
Suburban Denver, early 80s. I would watch the shit out of this show.
Oh, pretty you much. Getting the crap kicked out of you? Would be so fun to watch. Okay, so
yeah, it happened. I got beat up by the neighbor kid.
No way. That's the pilot. This is the pilot. Anyway, what's our challenge today?
So we have a challenge. We have a challenge coming to us. We love challenges from outside sources. Yes. This one coming from a source very close to the pod. Our very good friend, Eliza Skinner, has brought a challenge to
us.
But
we should also just say that listeners and supporters as well have been requesting a challenge similar to this.
Yeah, from multiple sources, but Eliza tossed it into center ring. Here's the challenge. There's a book called The Artist's Way. Some of you may be familiar with it.
I am.
So if you're familiar with The Artist's Way, a major tenet of the artist's way, it's an exercise, is doing your morning pages. Yeah. And
this,
morning
of course,
pages
is the book by Julia Cameron, right? The artist's way book.
I believe so. I'm not familiar with the book, but I am familiar with morning pages because I have friends who have done them and I have people in my life who swear by them. So if you're not familiar with morning pages, it's where first thing in the morning you get up and you write out 3 pages longhand, stream of consciousness style. It could be anything you want. It could be whatever you want to write, but you have to write 3 pages longhand, just barf, just a brain barf first thing in the morning. And then you don't read them for, I believe, 6 months. And then you can like revisit your morning pages, but they could be whatever you want. You don't, it's not like you're not trying to write a short story or write a novella. You're just writing whatever you want. So that's the idea of morning pages. I don't know. Are either of you familiar with this or this sort of exercise?
Yeah. I'm actually very familiar with it. Before I started doing stand-up, I was like trying to figure out how to do comedy, where I fit in. I took classes at Second City in Chicago, took sketch writing classes and improv, and that's probably why listeners of the pod are like, that's why Adam's so much better at improv than Ben and Andrew.
Oh, yeah, dude. You're just like a park ranger at Improv Forest.
100%.
When you get lost, Adam comes in looking for you.
Now, Improv Forest, of course, overlooks all of Rift City.
Yeah.
And it's got that beautiful, they've really done a lot with that bluff that they created all that stonework.
Well, and we've recently reintroduced Riff Gray Wolves. And so I personally monitor them in Improv Forest.
Go ahead. No, what were you going to say? Go ahead.
One part of the sketch.
This is just some of that
class.
Hot improv.
Just that's a taste. And I don't want to spoil the listener with a whole.
Maybe you guys can zip, zap, zip before you talk over each other anymore.
Nice. That was actually very nice. That was part of the sketch comedy writing class, was get up and do your pages in the morning. So I wrote, 23-year-old Adam Caton-Holland sat in various Caribou Coffees around Chicago, pouring his impressionable brain into a Mead journal for months on end. So I did this, and I'm very familiar.
Okay. How about you, Benjamin?
My lovely parenting partner, Crystal, she convinced me to do it when I would get like kind of creatively blocked. I'm like, fuck, I don't have any ideas. I don't know what I'm going to do. She suggested the artist's way and doing what she called burn pages. And so just same thing, writing stream of consciousness. Don't look back at them anytime soon. I don't know that I remember a specific time frame I wasn't supposed to look at them, but I did.
It's also known as writing Stephanie Meyer style.
Twilight pages is what they're known
as. Twilight pages.
So I did do them previously. But this was a very long time ago, well over 10 years ago that I did this.
Okay. Right. So then sounds like a good challenge. Pick it back up. We do this again. Every day for a week?
I've never done a challenge like this. I have done the NaNoWriMo challenge quite a few times. That's where you write a novel in the month of November, which is pretty similar in that you have to write at a pace where you're definitely barfing stuff out and you can't be precious about it. But
you've done it a ton. I'm always impressed with how many times you've pulled that off.
I've done it like 6 times. Yeah, I've 6 just absolute dog shit novels.
And everybody loves to read, according to how Andrew would. NaNoWriMo would mean that it's reading it's NaNoWriMo, right? You're writing?
Oh, yeah, probably. NaNoWriMo? Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah, but no one reads very much throughout the day. I'll take up this. I have to read 3 pages a day and not look back at them.
You have to write. Okay. See, you fucked yourself up. You fucked yourself up correcting me.
That was intentional. I was making fun of you, you fucking dipshit.
Yeah, right.
As the warden of Improv Forest, I call a truce. On with the challenge.
So what are the parameters here? What are we going to do? We're going to write 3 pages.
Longhand. First thing in the morning.
And we don't look back at them.
Yeah.
Just write them.
I love that.
Just stream of consciousness. Don't think. And let's see if we find after this is done that it helps our creative juices get flowing, you know?
Oh, I'm going to be a mango after this. You're going
to
need to put some paper towels on the counter.
Does it have to be right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be first thing in the morning.
Because that's hard for a dad of 2 babies. I get up and it's not like I have time to go.
No, right, I mean, it's your first creative thing you do.
It's supposed to be first thing you do as far as I understand it, first thing you do before you do anything else. But yeah, right, if you've got a kid.
Fuck it, Ellis. Sit in your shit.
You can't neglect.
Dad has got a pod challenge.
You can't neglect a baby.
There was a baby that was found, like a child that had been raised by wolves. I think your
because
baby
of this
can
challenge,
sit for
because
15
the parents...
minutes in its poopy dupes while you write your garbage.
You
let
got
your
it.
Garbage
you got
out.
It. I will allow diaper rash to thrive for
that's
this
it?
One stupid fucking Grawlix child.
Oh, I think he'll have plenty of diaper cream when you're rolling in the dough because the ideas are just coming out of you.
Okay,
Daddy's got new script after
now
new script.
I'm listening. Now I'm listening.
So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a quick break? We're going to listen to some stand-up comedy from our live show. The Grawlix happens the last Saturday of every month. This comic, one of our favorite up-and-coming comics, just came out of the Fort Collins scene and has been destroying. She's amazing. Please enjoy Rosalie James Taylor. And when we come back, we will be journaled. We will be creative.
We're going to be juicy, like you said.
Yeah. Andrew, what did you say? You're going to have to put a napkin down on the counter?
I'm going to be a creative mango. Yeah. You're going to... Gonna have to wear a bib when you're dealing with these ideas.
Impossible to cut.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're gonna have to watch a YouTube video just to figure out how to
stop
try to
now.
Cut me.
We'll see you in a minute. Stay tuned.
I'm like at peace with being trans. I don't really, it's whatever. Like it's 2022. No one gives a fuck what you're doing anymore. They're like, are you currently not shitting in a public area where I can see you? Top percentile of people I've run into. My mom sent me this article a couple of weeks ago that was for sure from The Onion. Listen, when you're 45, white, and in Colorado Springs, The Onion is your god. Right? That will never lie to you. And it was this article talking about how in like 20 years we'll be able to create an artificial womb so that trans women can experience the miracle of childbirth. And miracle is a strong fucking word. We're currently overpopulated on this planet. A miracle doesn't happen 6 billion times. If I were to drop this microphone and it went up, that's a miracle, all right? Like that... If you can do it when you're 16 and at prom, not impressive. That's not... Have that baby standing on water, I'll hear you out. But... No, my mom, she was like, Rosalie, isn't that great? You can be a mom. And I was like, Mother, who do you think I am? Let's break this down financially real quick. It's so much money to get the front door put in on this house. Another, what, maybe 100,000 for this weird sci-fi fucking temporary vegan meat sack that they're gonna put in me. And then another 500 for the abortion. Are you kidding me? Like... I went to school for theater. In Greeley, Colorado. I don't have make the baby to get rid of the baby money, okay? God help me if I'm in Texas when this shit goes down. It's another 300 for airfare to get the fuck out of that nightmare. I'm going up to baggage claim. They'll be like, do you have any carry-on? I'll say yes, but just one way.
Hey, do you love the Grawlix Saves the World, but are sad because you're not getting enough of it?
Boy, do I.
Well, great news. You can get all sorts of bonus content on our Patreon.
Like what?
Tell them, Ben.
Act 4. Ad-free episodes, birthday shoutouts, exclusive merch, stronger, more painful erections, our pod within a pod, boy crazy, decreased A1C levels, photos and videos, bonus content, and so much more.
Okay, I'll do it.
No, kick to me. Say, how do I do it? How do I sign up?
We're not trying to sell it to you, Andrew. You don't have to. Jesus.
Oh, well, I mean, it sounded good. Okay, how do I sign up then?
Fuck it.
You can sign up now by visiting patreon.com/Grawlix Saves.
I do want to sign up.
Hey, guess what? They're letting me bring it back in. I never get to bring it back in. And I feel like sometimes you guys kind of limp into the second half, but not this time. Fire it up. Hit me with some noises, Ron.
Just general noises.
Just noises. Give me noises.
Wow. Boom, traffic, boom. Bicycle
that noise,
bell.
That noise. That noise. I love it. Welcome to the party.
And hit me with some noise.
Hit me with some fire sound. Fire as like cool. Not you don't have to give me. You can turn off the sound of fire. Ah, wow. What a night I've had. What a day I've had. We're back. And we're journaling.
Wow.
We were burn journaling.
Talk about creatively juiced. Wow. You're sopping. Juiced, you are sopping.
Oh, God. You've got a lobster bib on because there is so much salty, low tide at Baltimore smelling juice coming out of me.
I've got a heavy flow panty liner on. Forget a bib.
Oh, damn you, juicy girl. You juicy. Anyway, yeah, welcome back. If you don't recall, because you either paused this or you have some sort of memory issue.
It's weird we don't let you bring it back in more often.
It really is.
Yeah. Burn pages, morning pages, the journal of thought. Okay, this is what
now,
we're
are
doing.
You, is this the free ride? Are you doing free writing right now?
Yeah. It hasn't helped me at all.
Is this jazz?
I find that I talk.
Bebop a doobop words coming. Rebop a deep.
I find that I talk as I type now, and oh my God, this seat cushion's getting hotter. Anyway.
Staccato rhythms out Ben's head.
Are you kidding? Ruckroll, guess who's in the driver's seat? Hands at 11 and 6. That's not where they should be. That's why the car is weaving into the median.
Jesus
Listen,
Christ.
I want to say, what a challenge. I'm feeling more energized. I'm feeling more creative. Morning pages are fired up.
We've poured out your mind.
Already abundantly clear is that Ben's ideas are fertile and resonating with everyone.
Yeah, you can't stop them. What is fleece? I tell you what it is. You're getting fleeced when you're buying it is what
nice.
It is.
Nice.
It's so expensive.
Yep.
The premise is there. The name is built into the punchline.
There's a POV of a guy who's not going to take bullshit anymore that I'm relating to. Yeah.
Hey,
I like
listen,
it.
Adam, I want to ask, Andrew, did you complete the challenge?
Okay, hold on. Let me take the wheel for 1 second.
Okay.
Listener, the challenge was to free write every morning.
Yes.
Just like in the artist's way, as they suggest. Every day, free write first when you get up and see if that makes you a better creative. And Ben is now asking, after displaying his week-long attempt at self-improvement towards creativity, he's asking, did we do the challenge? And so I believe yeah. Ben asked Andrew. Is that what
but
you
I asked Andrew?
Andrew
through you. Adam, I'd like to ask Andrew. Andrew, did you complete?
Andrew.
Yeah. Andrew, did you complete the challenge?
I completed the challenge in attempting it. I did not complete the challenge in results. This was actually, I would say, maybe the hardest challenge we've ever done for me.
What?
To write, I'm serious, to write 3 longhand pages first thing in the day. I as a single dad with 2 huskies and a full-time job and 3 side jobs, to sit there in the morning, I would give myself kind of the time that the coffee was brewing to do it. And I would just sit there with a blank page and like nothing. There was like nothing coming out. It was a dry tap. The times where things did come out, it was like a to-do list for the day. It was just like a list of like
okay.
all
that's
the
okay,
shit I was
though.
Supposed to do that day. Yeah, I mean, so I would do that. And then one day I just wrote, this is all I got out. We're going to figure things out. That's all I wrote. That was the whole page.
Who's that guy that said that in your body?
It was somebody who was exhausted. And that's the thing. It's like I usually am not short on idea juice.
You're
so
the
to
idea
sit
guy.
There and I guess when you first thing in the morning is not when they come out of the tap or something. Or it was also just the pressure of like, oh, I'm going to be late getting my kid to school. I got to do this. I got to do that. I didn't have like just like a luxurious window for it. So there were a lot of days where I just had blank sheets of paper. The other problem I did was I used full sheets of typing paper, and I talked to my buddy about it, and he was like, what? He's like, that'll take you 45 minutes. He's like, no. You got to get like a nice small little journal or just fold
what?
The pages
I love that
in
people
half.
People are like, shrink the side of the page.
Do it
on a post-it.
Cheating, cheating your own mind.
Yeah.
But apparently that was part of the issue. But I had these blank pages. There's nothing more like symbolic of writer's block than I just have these stark white pages sitting at the table. And then at one point I was like, I guess like doodling has to count, right? I mean, yeah, I'm not writing, but I'm doing something.
No,
and I would like,
no,
just like a kid bored.
I think it counts, but Andrew's a good artist. Like, he's getting something out. I don't think he's just drawing bullshit. He probably was drawing something interesting.
But this wasn't a drawing challenge. This is a writing challenge.
I'm with you, Ben. I don't think it should count. And
okay, I rescind and fuck you, Andrew.
Yes. Thank you, Adam.
It's supposed to be a writing. I mean, I'm sure there are doodling challenges that are similar to this, but this is supposed to be writing, clearing out the baggage of your subconscious and organizing your thoughts for the day. And my brain was not cooperating. But the worst part is I left the pages out one day and I went and ran some errands. And I left my kid home and I was like, oh my God, if she sees these pages, it's going to look like a first draft of like a suicide note. It's like a list of grim things to do and things I haven't done. And then just like a page that says, we're going to figure things out. So when I got home, I recycled them. I don't have them to read because I got rid of the evidence of them. But it was a really difficult challenge, and it frustrated me. And actually, toward the end, I came to resent this challenge because I was like, this is a challenge for people who have these like luxurious lives where they could just sit and fuck around all morning, just like unspooling their like mental frivolity. I got all this fucking shit to do. I don't have time for this. So I actually, I kind of came around the bend on the challenge to be kind of resentful of it by the end of the week.
Do you think it was like that you're too busy or resentful, as you're saying, or do you feel blocked creatively even when you could find the time? You know what I mean? Like, are you currently like, fuck, I'm not there in a creative space?
I think it was first thing in the morning. I'm not a morning person anyway, and with my current schedule, I have to wake up early to get all this stuff done. I think it was just the crunch of like knowing like, hey, you've only got 10, 15 minutes to do this max. And just being on the clock like that, it just wasn't working first thing in the morning.
What about night pages? If you had done them at night, do you think you would have had better results?
I'm actually curious about that. And I might continue this challenge just on my own and see at the end of the day, like writing pages.
That's
like
when
how
I'm way more creative. I'm useless.
That could help me out. Because I usually do most of my creative writing in the evening anyway. It's like when I'm working on games or short stories or whatever I might be working on. A lot of that is more done in the evening. So
I think this speaks to a really good point that we should share about, like, this took us 3 seasons to realize of writing television. You adhere to these traditional work hours creatively when you have a writer's room, like 10 to 6, we're going to write. And we just were told to do it that way, so we did it that way. And then by season 3, we started to realize, like, Ben's way better at night. Andrew and I can lock into this productivity from maybe like 10 to 2, and then we want the fuck out of there. And so we would often be like, Ben, here's the work, fix it. And Ben would come back the next morning with the solution. And it was just by recognizing Ben's brain works better at night.
Yeah, I'm not. I wake up in the morning and I want to like maybe like get chores done, and then I nap at like noon every day or something. But then after that, that's when I start going. And I noticed, Adam, you write usually pretty well first thing, it feels like. You've told me before that you'll come out with your cup of coffee, sit in your office, and work.
That's when I prefer to work. Kids, like, I hear you, Andrew. It's the same thing with me. I started to resent the challenge too, because it was just the waking up and doing it, I don't have that luxury. I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm very much a co-parent. So it's like I'm helping. We're getting them up and fed and all that shit.
Well, I guess the question is, did you do it, Adam?
I did do it, but I did it on my own terms, which I think is what this podcast is. It's like we fit these challenges in where we can. So when Ellis went down for his nap at 9:30, I'm up at 6:50. So I've been up for a while. Put him down, and then I would go and free write before starting the work for the day. And I did resent it, but then like day 3 or 4, I was like, I fucking like this. I like this.
Yeah.
It's kind of just like an idea dump, and then I can do the real work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I started to really get into it.
What kind of things were you writing? Andrew gave us a taste of his. Do you have yours there?
Andrew didn't share his writing because he recycled it.
Well,
that's
not true. He shared that terribly sad cry for help.
You did.
That like one line. Sorry, Andrew. That's just what I, and I've got, I'm firing on all cylinders right now, and that's my bad.
And I feel like the listener heard that cry for help and was like, wish I had some more.
Yeah.
That's where I come in, because on one of the days, I just decided I'm going to speculate on what Ben and Andrew are writing for this challenge. So I I'll share with you.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, God, no.
I haven't reread this since we did it, but here we go. Day 3, not going to lie, today is the first day I've looked forward to this challenge. First 2 days, I kind of resented it, time constraints, carving out more time away from co-parenting. But this morning, I woke up and almost started fiending for it. When am I going to be able to steal away 15, 20 minutes to write? And yes, I know the challenge was like 3 pages or whatever, but that's all I could afford. And I'm only doing half of the challenge. So what? As with all things Grolix, I'm quite confident my 50% will top the boy's 100.
Wow. So even
in your stream of consciousness,
you're an asshole to us.
Yeah.
You're
huge
an arrogant asshole to us.
Oh, that's, listen to this. Man, oh man.
There's more.
Man, oh man. Can you imagine the drivel filling Ben and Andrew's notebooks right now? It almost makes you feel bad for the notebooks themselves. Like they could have been used for anything. Some ambitious art student could have picked this notebook up at a Walgreens and filled it with their sketches and thoughts and ambitions. And across the life of the composition book, you would see a mind really awaken to its own potential. But instead, it's Andrew being like, "Welp, my husky shit another squirrel carcass today. Better get my best camo pants on and head to PetSmart's for meds."
I mean, Andrew,
this is like the notebooks in the movie 7. When
Christ
Brad Pitt's
Almighty,
reading from it.
Christ Almighty, can you imagine the dog shit Ben's spewing into his journal? He's been in Montana for He's been in Montana for 4 days, and he's got such a hard-on for Western movies, Western literature, Western artwork, anything to fill in the gaps in his masculinity. I simply cannot wait to hear the trickle-down Cormac McCarthy over-description of plants and dried-up riverbeds. Tell us about the saguaro again, Ben. You overcompensating fuck. Of course.
You can't
love him
see.
Like
he's
a brother.
Actually
love him
turning
like a brother.
The pages.
And I'd take a bullet for him, Andrew, too. I'd take a bullet for each of them, one that they asked me to get rid of because it's evidence of the time that they each killed someone for separate petty reasons. Andrew's definitely involving an online feud, and Ben's a minor squabble with a neighbor that escalated to violence over the course of years. And I'd take those bullets to the police, and I'd say, my friend's Ben and Andrew shot these people. Here's the proof. Because if you really love someone, the best way to show them is by allowing the system to rehabilitate them. That was one morning.
Wow. Wow. What a disastrous challenge this is.
This is what I do, guys.
I'm just happy I'm on your mind that much.
Yeah, wow.
You're my friend too, Adam.
That was day 3. I didn't start out there.
So only halfway through the challenge, it only took you 2 days prior to that to arrive at shitting all over Andrew and I and our writing.
I had 2 days to myself and my thoughts, and then I was like, but what do you really want to get out? Day 2 is like sad, and it's about the Ukraine. It's terrible.
Wow.
Like, but day 3, I was like, I'd like to shit on the boys a little bit, and
yeah,
I did.
Nice work. Shitting on the boys.
That's our new adult film series, Shitting on the Boys.
Shitting on the boys.
Yeah, dude.
Benjamin, did you do the challenge?
I did do the challenge. I did. And I feel like Andrew hated it. Adam started off hating it and then came around to liking it. I just liked it the whole time. I enjoyed it. What's crazy about it is that I went back when I pulled up. I have a folder that I have that just says writing, and then it's got lyrics, it's got comedy, it's got scripts or whatever, separate folders inside it. And one of them I didn't realize says burn pages, and my pages from previously were there.
So you typed these pages in the past?
Yeah, yeah. I type them because I can just, it becomes much more stream of consciousness at that point. At points, I could close my eyes and just type and just whatever thought came to mind.
Just real jazz.
If we're being sticklers, isn't it handwriting?
It's supposed to be longhand, but you know.
I don't write. Well.
He Grolixed it up.
I don't write well.
Yeah, we do the challenges as and, we can.
Yeah, I hate my handwriting, and it's distracting to see my handwriting because I want to go back and I want to like correct all the leaning letters.
And I forget
yeah.
things because I admittedly, I do not longhand write very fast. I liked putting it on my computer and just blah.
That's because we never do it. It feels so alien. It's like, dude, what the fuck am I doing right now?
My wrist hurt and my writing was atrocious. That was just hard to read, but I sort of intuitively remembered the disses.
I'm so proud of you.
I love that your disses are intuitive. Then.
You soldiered through
Adam's
it. You've had an ice pack on your wrist just to get
this. Disses comes out on 800 Pound of Gorilla very soon.
So Ben, with his eyes closed, tippity tapping on the keyboard with his beret cocked, cigarette in the ashtray.
I do want to say, you guys said Cormac McCarthy, and listen to this. I've often wondered if speciation, a sign and classification of a particular bird, reptile, or primate, simply by its most obvious and glaring traits, is primitive thought. Ring-tailed lemur, roseate spoonbill, black-crested gibbon. We assign most, if not all, members of the animal kingdom their borders within a particular genus by variations in appearance or perhaps the location from which they originated.
This is what you write first thing in the morning?
This is amazing.
You just get up and stumble over it.
Yeah, it's
just an anthropology professor.
Keep going.
But anyway, that like there's more to that.
That's a great point. You just like dropped a professor lecture. Like, by the way, talking about genus, like that's okay.
Most likely be attributed, and rightfully so, the lack of a universal language with which to convey and ultimately understand tangible, self-ascribed, cognitive, emotional, and ideological differences any organism experiences and defines itself with when going about its day. How can any being wholly classify and identify another being without at some point understanding how that being sees itself under the process of self-actualization? And that's a huge part of it.
This is the best plug for those wild edibles you've
ever
done.
Dude, I did not. Never edible in the morning. I do not wake and cheese, bro. I do not bubble that cheese in the morning. Then some of it, what's crazy is though, I realized through reading back, I was like, man, I feel sadder than I've ever been in my entire life. Then I went back at some of the other ones and I'm like, oh God, no, no, I've been incredibly sad for a long time. These burn pages are from back in 2014 when I thought things were going well. The previous ones, no, they weren't going well. I was incredibly uncomfortable and unhappy.
Wait a minute. So wait, there's some very real value then to this, maybe. Like, not that, hey, I've always been sad, but that maybe right now is not as bad as you think it is.
Yeah. Well, like November 4th, 2014, there have been very few times in my life I can recall as being as unhappy as I am now. That's how it starts in
the
morning.
Oh, God.
And it is three pages of me talking about, let's see if I can find some real uplifting shit in here in the middle of this. I just wish I could sit down and create without pain, as I have done for never. But things are just not flowing. Kernels or whatever trace amounts of myself I had left within me. Oh no, that's another part. This is all just an immense exhaustion.
Do you ever get a nice Orvidol? Like, hey, we're going to work this out though.
No, I wish I could say I could. But a lot of it is just horrifically. This was from the 15th. There's no fucking point. And I truly get that. I don't blame my psyche for it. I've become precious about feeling bad, about feeling lost and nervous. It's as if I wear it like a sash from some early pageant I was part of in my teens. Yeah.
Hey, well, at least you write well when you're sad.
Well, thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
I don't know about the genus species stuff. That was a little wordy, and honestly, the simplest path is the best path.
But it's a real.
But that old shit you just read was
really
great.
Yeah, then this. No, that was new stuff.
Oh, well, even better, because the new stuff is great then. I like
this. This is from the 18th. What are echoes if not just some sound or vocalization being repeated back to you by the physical world? I wonder if it knows something we don't.
That is what an echo is.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, but I go into a longer explanation of inanimate objects choosing what it. Maybe it's important for us to hear our own voice played back to us. Why do I yell hello when I'm in a place with a large echo outside? What a dumb thing! You think there'd be something?
'Cause you're a hack.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Andrew. Yeah, there's just a lot of really
you're a canyon hack, dude.
Yeah.
Intuitive Disses is my album. Canyon Hack is Ben Roy's new fucking album.
Canyon Hack.
Hello!
There's so much here.
Wait, so Ben, I truly want to ask you this because you did this before and you said Crystal sort of pointed it to you when you were having, you know, creative block. What do you think? How'd you feel doing it this week? You loved it? Did it depress you? Or is it good to get these thoughts out?
I like it. I've always thought, and I will, the side note, growing up playing in a band, I would play like these songs that our band would play, like that our band had wrote, my first band, and they were incredibly sad. Looking back, if my son had written the lyrics that I did, I would be concerned. And my mom was very concerned. But I think the fact that I was vocalizing it was healthy. And I think like the same with these burn pages, if someone read them, mine are a lot of times very sad because I'm just processing a lot right now and there's a lot of big life change. So I think kind of taking the knife, so to speak, and scraping the foam off the top of the day, you know what I mean? Like there's the garbage and that's important.
I think
It does do good things for me. I also found, much like the push-up challenge, that once I had started writing, I wanted to keep writing, which is not, I don't know about you both. We've talked about this. You've all seen, writing is very painful. I don't like doing it. I'm very self-conscious about my writing, which is why I'm overly verbose when I write a lot of the time, because I'm trying to make up for something. You know, like I didn't do well in school and I'm trying to tell people I am smart constantly, you know, and I think this gets me out of that. I just write the things that come to mind.
You can barf up all those synonyms.
Yeah, exactly.
And then get to the good stuff.
The synonym challenge.
I think you're exactly right, though. Like getting it out in some way is super healthy. And especially
it's just journaling.
And I honestly think we're all 40-something men who have had a lot of depression and a lot of therapy and have learned various ways of trying to live. And I think we're doing it as best as we can. But to like young kids, to the, you know, Ben Roy when you were in band days, what a fucking healthy outlet to write these songs.
Yeah,
and
my
get it
brother.
Out. So it's like if we have young depressive listeners who are like, I don't know what to do with these thoughts. Fucking write.
Yeah,
them
write
down.
Poetry. Write
and
stand up.
That's a very good way to get them.
Yeah,
out.
Write songs. I mean, my brother was such a big champion of mine growing up. To my parents, you know, my parents would be like, Jesus. I mean, I had songs that I feel like dun dun. So sad. You know, I'm just like, if I heard Milo saying that, I'd be like, dude. You want, like, I wouldn't leave his side, you know, but my brother was like, he's talking about it. Like he's actually yelling about it and like getting it out. That's healthy. I think if you chew it down and you swallow it and you don't see it, that's probably a lot worse of a sign. You know, you're a powder keg.
I think so too. And I honestly just read the one that I thought was funniest because it's a funny podcast, but like day two writing, this war in the Ukraine is fucking me up. And I write about how, like, I have Ukrainian ancestry, but why is that? Why can I only relate to this one? Why don't I relate to other terrible atrocities right. in the world? But this one, I'm just feeling it harder. And just, like, getting all those thoughts out. And I don't know. I reread that one, and I was like, huh, that was healthy. I felt a little better putting it down. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't make the world a less sad place, but it felt good to get
right.
out.
So, dude, that, I guess, comes around to the question we always ask. Does this make a world a better place? And would you do it again? Like, would you recommend it to people? Are you going to continue it? That kind of thing.
Andrew, you want to go first?
Yeah, I think anything that helps you process whatever you're going through internally has to be a good thing. I think that's part of my frustration with it, is I was just like, I am not getting anything out here. And it wasn't because I had like a hard week. I definitely probably could have used some emotional shotgunning.
Like a pressure valve, an emotional pressure
yeah,
valve.
Yes, yeah. Something. And so to just kind of not have anything was definitely frustrating. But I know any sort of like art that you're doing in a genuine way not only makes world a better place, I think it's good for you, whatever that looks like, whether it's song lyrics or drawings or stories or essays, whatever it is, I think it's gonna be good. Always better than just bottling it up and not having any outlet for it, for sure, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I also see it like twofold. I think, I mean, all of us clearly believe in the power of art to help get you through dark shit. We wear that on our sleeves. Like that's our credo. And so I totally believe in that. And I believe like writing and getting these thoughts out is a helpful way to not just sit on them and boil over and become some sort of lunatic on the internet that does crazy shit. But from an artist's perspective, I do think sometimes if you have these dark thoughts and you're wearing them at the forefront of your brain, you're going to make bad art because it's like too prominent in your head. You're like, I'm fucking mad about Ukraine. Well, cool. That's not a great piece of literature you just wrote. So like maybe getting it out, like you said, like getting the foam out. Now you can be more subtle. You can be more refined. You've sort of expunged your id, and now you can be a better artist because you've like got that out. You needed to scream it. Now let's put some thought into the thing you're about to
yeah.
write. I think that yeah, might be the value.
Yeah, for sure. I think anytime you can get this boatload of resentment you have out of the two people that you share this podcast with, I think that makes the world a better place because you're not carrying that around with you. Yeah.
You got to air that laundry. And you've told us so many times, but it's just good to hear
yeah,
it again.
I like hearing
you
know? It.
My favorite part was that my 50% is better than your
that was yeah. honestly I mean, that was
you,
a standout
you drill
part
it into
for
us.
Me too. I want to admit yeah. like that was where I thought you were shining.
As far as this challenge, though, I guess I regret taking it so specifically. Like, I was like, full pages, longhand, first thing in the morning. And I was just, like, very adherent to the rules of the challenge. And then in hearing the way you both did it, it's like, oh, well, we tweaked it a little bit this way or tweaked it a little bit that way. And I would say to the listener, yeah, you can fucking tweak it however you like, however it works. I should have done the pages, I don't know, at the end of the day or at my lunch break at work or something, because it just didn't work for me in the morning. Like, I just don't have
yeah.
morning time to...
I think in a vacuum, if you're some starving artist in, like, an apartment with a mattress on the floor and stacks of books on the ground and nothing else...
Okay, yeah, you've taken enough shots at me today, Adam.
get up and do it first thing if you have that fucking luxury. But if you don't, find some time in the day... And bang it out, and I think it's still very
yeah.
valuable.
Yeah, I agree. I love this. I think it makes the world a better place because I felt lighter after I did it. I felt better, obviously. That's going to help yeah. my interactions with other people. And I get frustrated when I can't create. When I feel blocked up creatively, I'm a pain in the ass. I'm angry.
I'm the same fucking way.
You're constipated. You're emotionally
it is.
Constipated.
Being creatively constipated.
Yeah.
The problem is it's... And for creatives and for people who do this for work, you're in essence not productive at your job. And that's very clear as to why it would make that. I mean, that's clearly why it would make you upset. I'm not doing what I'm fucking supposed to be doing.
And then there's the whole thing of like commerce and trying to sell the thing you're fucking doing and like feeling like it doesn't have value if it doesn't fucking sell, but that you were just bred to create. So you got up and wrote this thing. Nobody wants to buy it. Is it a shitty thing? I don't know. Like we deal with this stuff all the fucking time.
Yeah,
totally. You could also, doing this challenge, you could also find a new form of creativity for yourself. Maybe you're into, maybe you could write some poetry. Maybe you could, you know, write a short story or something, even if you, if it's not normally in your wheelhouse.
Yeah. One of them I started just was a short story. Like I just was like, I started telling a story that was in my head. It makes no sense, as I'm sure you all imagine. But it was just like a thing that happened to be on my mind. And I was like, I'm just going to start typing this. And it got, you know, I would love to hear if people do this. Thank you all for suggesting this. And if you all try this, give it a shot. Like, for real, give it a shot. Tell us how it works for you and what comes out of you if you're willing to share. Obviously, you don't have to.
You can do anything. Look at how Ben brought back the second half of this episode. That was interpretive. That was wild. Dance. And this is a world-famous podcast. We're using that shit. And that's all from
but that's
these
three
pages.
We're fucking dangerous. We're dangerous.
We are Ron, dangerous.
Ron, give me some noises. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like this challenge, and I think this got a little deeper than any of us anticipated, besides me just shredding you dudes, which was just an easy dunk, and I regret it in hindsight. Just, but
you half-piped us big time.
I do think it's an important challenge, and I think I might keep it up. So
I can't wait,
Eliza and all our fans.
Yeah, and I can't wait to hear all your future digs that come out of this.
Oh,
yeah.
You'll hear them. I'll just start emailing them to you guys first thing in the morning.
Thanks. Yeah, send your morning pages to us, Adam. Thanks. That would be...
you got it. All right. We're going to pause the pod momentarily for some sweet, sweet comedy relief. This clip is from a dear friend of mine, and dare I say a friend of all of ours, definitely a friend of the pod, Brock Wilbur. I don't even know if he's doing stand-up anymore. He's too busy being the editor-in-chief of the KC Pitch.
I love that,
heard
dude.
Of it?
Yeah.
This is a clip from back in the day on the Grolix Live show. So please enjoy this clip from Brock Wilbur.
Just cleanse our palate from all that seriousness. I've got the saccharine taste of serious on my tongue. So let's go ahead. Let's have a nice, refreshing, cool drink of comedy water. Let's do that, and let's
bebop, skip it, bebop.
Ron, can we get some symmetrical sounds to? And Ben, can you just sort of free verse
and
us
then,
out?
And then when we come back,
he was doing it.
Boop a dime, dop dop. Who's here? Ding dong, it's me, the mailman of fun, and I've got a special delivery, one that's leaking. So make sure you take care of it. Put it in the refrigerator. I think it's melted. And when we come back, there's going to be more show. More show, as well as we'll tease what the next challenge is. Stay tuned. Noise. Wow.
I went out on tour, and a friend of mine was like, have you ever tried Vicodin? And I was like, I have not. And she's like, here, have some to try. And then gave me an Eminem music video worth, just so much, like a comical, cartoonish amount. And I was like, okay, this could be fun. I get to New York City. I finish my shows for the night. I go to the place where I'm staying. I was like, you know what? I'm going to pour a red wine. I'm going to try this Vicodin. I'm going to catch up on my scandal. I'm going to catch up on all my Shonda Rhimes block. And then I got a call from a pretty girl saying that she was out at a bar in Williamsburg. And so at 1:15, I went to that same bar, forgetting I'd ingested weaponized sleepy time tea, and proceeded to keep drinking. I then proceeded to convince a group of New Yorkers at 4 a.m. that we could walk to the Statue of Liberty. That's on an island. That's not a local joke. You know what happened there. And then I took 33 blurry photographs of an African-American couple at the bar. Because they were sitting at the end of a crowded Williamsburg bar playing Magic the Gathering, the most beautiful sight I will ever see. And rather than tell them that, I just instead took 33 blurry photographs of them with my flash on, like they knew something was wrong. I then proceeded to pour my date into her cab, took my first drunk subway ride through New York as an adult. An attractive girl wound up being the only other person in the subway car, and she sat next to me, and I didn't know what to do, so instead I pretended like I just kept rereading the ad above her in the subway, and the ad said this: if you don't make eye contact with people, it's a sign of autism. So I immediately made and kept eye contact for the next 45 minutes to prove there's nothing wrong with me. Got home, sent an email to my ex-fiance from 5 years ago saying I made peace with the fact she kept the cat. I ate half a pickle. I know this to be true because I found the other half the next morning in these very jeans. And then I wrote a 4-page letter to the girl I was staying with saying I believed in her art. You've not seen my handwriting in movies where they cut letters out to make a ransom note. That's pretty much what it fucking is. So it was hard for a joke like, if you don't share your magic with the world, I'll smother you in your sleep, JK, to fly off the page there. Oh, don't worry, I tore that up before she saw it because I realized how fucking creepy that is. And I got myself one better because I found out a week later, I was looking through my notebook, and on the last page that night, I'd apparently written, I just want to be happy. And under that, in a second handwriting I've never seen, I wrote, we're sorry. We are sorry. We, the plural, we're sorry. I am legion, for I contain multitudes. We're sorry. That's the scariest goddamn thing you can not remember scrawling to yourself in the night. So the next time somebody offers you Vicodin, maybe Vicodon't. It's not worth it.
And we are back with the end third of the show, which I think, pound for pound, our dismount is the best in the podcasting biz.
Oh, our LPMs, laughs per minute, in the last third of this pod, it's through the fucking
roof.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got some stiff competition with Theo Vaughn.
Sure.
But
the old final third.
Yeah, this week, Adam and Ben were threatening to kick me out of the Grolix and replace me with Theo Vaughn. So I just want to get that out there and put it on record that that was going
on.
And
it's not even personal. It's just
a business move. And I think if you cared about the podcast, Andrew, you'd see what we were trying to do. We're trying to build something for you and your daughter. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry we think about that. Well, whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead, Andrew. Why don't you thank the people you don't want to thank because you don't care?
All right.
Fucking idiot. Asshole.
Wow. Pieces of shit. Big thanks to Eliza Skinner, who brought this challenge to us. And some other listeners, I think, might have given us this challenge or similar writing prompt challenges. So thank you for bringing this challenge. We love challenges from an outside source.
Eliza, same Theo Vaughn for you. If you would like to
replace Andrew, take an Eliza,
podcast.
Honestly. Oh, that would be great.
We'll say Christ. You're welcome.
I know.
Welcome,
I don't think. Let's do that. I like this idea. Hey, do you guys got anything to plug?
Plugs, 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 plugs.
Are you saying pugs, the dog, or plugs?
It's kind of whatever you need it to
I'm
be
hearing it,
in the moment.
Yeah.
I'm going to say prug, and that's it's a Prussian rug.
Ooh, that's
okay.
Cool.
Whatever you need.
And a reach.
You got Persian rugs?
Improv reach.
No, thanks. Prussian rugs.
I got plugs, and this is the last time I'm going to bother anybody about this. I'm headlining the comedy Works in Denver, Colorado, my home club. May is my anniversary month of comedy, 19 years in the biz. I'm excited to headline these two dates. Come hear new jokes. I promise you haven't heard most of them.
Well, I got to tell you something, Orvidal. Comedy Works is going to have to power wash the Grolix stink off those walls. Because after you're done, I'm coming in May 25th, and I am bringing the gold.
Wow.
I'm pulling no fucking punches. I am leaving it all out on that stage. Wendy, who owns the Comedy Works, gave me a March show, an April show, and a May show. This is it. This is the end of my little residency, and I am going to
Adam,
fucking...
it's not a residency. You've had a show
I don't think
a
that's
month.
What a residency is.
I've had three shows. Yeah. It's a residency. The first
I think people are canceling, and she's
the
having...
first in Comedy Works history, the first residency of three Wednesday nights across 3 months. However, this is the final night, May 25th. It'll be a lot of fun. Love to see you there.
Okay, fine. If you're gonna blow off my shows, go see Adam's
I'm
show.
I'm not saying go to Andrew's May 19th show, go to Andrew's May 22nd show, and then go to my May 25th show. And if you don't, are you even a Grolix fan?
That's a good point.
As always, you can get your tickets to those at comedyworks.com, and the ticket link will be below. Well, since you're both selfish, and just plugging your own shit. I'll plug the group, the Grolix. Our live show happens the last Saturday of every month at the world famous Bug Theater. This month's lineup is amazing. We've got local crushers Salma Zaki and Michael Isaacs are going to be joining us from LA, Katrina Davis, and then headlining, holy shit, Amy Miller is going to be there. Get your tickets now. This is going to sell out. Of course, the ticket link will be down in the show notes there. Please come and join us. Also, if you want to support us, not only the live show, if you don't live in town, you can support us by visiting our Patreon page, patreon.com/ Grolix Saves, G-R-A-W-L-I-X Saves.
They know that. They're listening to this podcast.
I just like to get it out there.
They can read it in the name of the...
Some of them are slow. You know this, Adam. Wow. Our crowd is slow. Very slow.
Very, very slow. And that's why we're bringing in Theo Von to speak to that.
I want to just issue a huge thanks to all the folks who have joined us as of late, and your support means everything to all the people who have been supporting us for a while. Thank you. We've got a Q&A video. A lot we asked for questions that you wanted answered, so we did that. That'll be coming out next Tuesday.
And can I tell you something? I don't even remember it. I think I was blackout drunk for that
Q&A.
So it's going to be fun for me to see what I say.
Probably learn about
what
yourself.
What the questions were.
Yeah. So as always.
It was a fun Q&A. And we have a pod within a pod, Boy yep. Crazy. We just put a new episode up we did with Rory Scovel, where we ranked the hunk-worthiness of all the Batmen, and that's only for Patreon members.
Yeah, so go check it out, patreon.com/ Grolix Saves. Of course, that's always in the show notes as well.
And listen, subscribe and follow. That really helps us. Follow us on all the social media, at Grolix Comedy. We will engage with you. We have so little else going on in our lives. We want to know about your creative process. How do you get the juices flowing when you can't sort of create? We're curious how you do that, because we've been in that place, and we want to know some of your tricks. Maybe it's writing these pages in the morning. Maybe it's something else.
Exactly.
So let us know about it. And please help us grow the podcast by telling your cool friends. If you have a friend that you're on the fence about, do not tell them about this podcast. But if you got a cool friend, they'll be into this dope boy shit for sure.
Adam, I don't think you should be allowed to plug anything anymore. A huge...
No, I agree with Adam. I mean, think of it becoming like a
Tell
social...
Tell your friends, but no losers listening to the pod.
It'll
okay?
become like a badge of honor. That? Like, oh my God, my friend at work told me about the Grolix Saves the World. Then you know...
I'm a podcast Statue of Liberty. Give us your dipshits. You're tired. You're weary.
No, I'm a mean girl. I'm a mean girl in the cafeteria on this podcast. And you better bring
crowd,
it if you want to sit
crowd,
at this table.
Crowd table. Wow. Well, I guess it works out having both.
Big thanks to our producer, Stream of Consciousness-less Scribe Ron Doyle.
No, you fucked it up. It's consciouslessness.
That's what I said.
No, you consciousness-less.
Okay. Ben, you take it.
As always, our big thanks to our producer, Stream of Consciousness-less Scribe Ron Doyle. It's
I'm going to try it again. Thanks to our producer, Stream of Consciousness Scribe Ron Doyle. Ding, ding, ding,
yeah,
ding, ding.
There
that
it
was
is.
It.
There
rolls
it is.
Off the tongue.
Oh, that was hard.
Big thanks to Mike Anderson for his help recording the live show. He's how we get those juicy clips. And our theme music is by the verbose Charlie Continental.
Ooh, he is verbose.
What are we doing next episode?
I don't know. I've got nothing left. I quit a minute and a half ago in this
You
segment.
Really blew your wad on the...
Best
on the...
third in the biz, I hyped. And now you're... fucking ejecting before the end. Wow.
Big
wow.
Pie.
I'm not saying that I'm ejecting, but I am saying what I say from here on out will have no merit or be funny. I'm still here.
Contractually. Yep. And we appreciate it. It's like, it's fucking 4:52 p.m. at the office.
Oh,
and Adam is...
I can taste that first hazy IPA. I'm at the happy hour around the corner so fucking
oh,
fast.
Yeah. He's going to the yard house down the way.
I'm not going home. What, am I going to go see the boys and my wife? I'm yard house.
I get an idea then. If none of us really want to do the pod right now, and we want to drill down into some tasty, hoppy goodness. Why don't we just let the pod go to the dogs, if you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Subtle. Like what you did.
I hate
Andrew,
that.
I got a plate of nachos coming. Let's get the fuck out of here. Let's go to the yard house.
I got to get out of here. Let's go. We're going to the yard house. Play us out, Charlie. Shotgun.